We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
On the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield, this is Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Holtz. Brought to you by Doghouse Sports Grill, official watch party host of La Tech Athletics. Origin Bank, the official bank of Louisiana Tech Athletics. And by Northern Louisiana Medical Center, the official imaging partner of La Tech Athletics. Now live from the Doghouse Sports Grill, here's your host, Malcolm Butler.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Doghouse Sports Grill. It's Inside Bulldog Football. I'm Malcolm Butler, joined by Bulldog head coach Skip Holtz, and we will talk for the next hour all about Louisiana Tech football. Take a look back at this past weekend's win over North Texas at home. Bulldogs go 1-0 in Conference USA play. At the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by Louisiana Tech track and field coach Gary Stanley. Talk a little bit about track and field. And then obviously we'll talk about this coming week's game. North Carolina State ranked 23rd in the country coming up after their win over Clemson this past weekend. But first things first, Skip, welcome to your own show.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. The doghouse is buzzing tonight.
We got a good crowd tonight.
We got a great crowd tonight. Best one of the year. I appreciate everybody coming out. Doing well. It's always what a difference winning makes to the morale, the attitude, the energy, just everybody from a team meeting on Sunday. You know, the ball goes through the upright and it just changes everybody's mindset. But it was great to win. We talked a lot about, and we've talked a lot on this show about the first five games. We're going to learn a lot about our team, and we're going to learn, you know, some of these young guys and transfers and the level of play and how they're going to fight through things and how they're going to adjust. And we've learned a lot about them, but we also said that through these first five games, there's one game out of the first five that's a must, and that's North Texas. As long as you can come out and you're 1-0 in the conference going into your open date, the rest of it is a great opportunity for us to learn a little bit about our football team. And so I think it was huge to get the win. We had adversity. The team stepped up. Defense played what I thought the defense played an outstanding football game. It was great to see them show up playing the way they did. Offense started out really fast, scoring the first 24 points of the game. There were a lot of positives in this game and a lot of things to build on, but certainly some guys on both sides of the ball really stepped up. It was great to see Smoke Harris's punt return. Exciting play when you talk about a kickoff return or a punt return, especially when it's your team that's doing it. Then it's a lot more exciting than when you're watching it happen against your football team. But just so many positive things in this game, so many things to build on, and that's all we're trying to do right now is just make sure that we can get a little bit better every week. In the next 2 months, we're not going to get bigger, faster, stronger. But what we can do is we can execute better and we can improve fundamentally. And that's been the battle cry with this team. Let's just keep getting better. Let's see what we can become. But right now, I really like the way this football team is working. I know we'll have an opportunity to talk about some guys individually, but overall, I think it was a great win for Louisiana Tech. It was a great win for this team, and it was huge because it's got a residual effect on it because of the conference play. And so every time they give your record, there's always like a 10-2, 7-1. There's always that second record right there, and that's what we started with. So it's nice to start off 1-0 in the conference.
That's what I love about Skip Holtz. All I did was welcome him to the show, and we're 3 minutes into the show already, so I love it, Coach. Just a reminder, you folks out there, if you have a question for Skip Holtz, just text it to 318-614-4513.
And text them. I want to answer people's questions about the program, so please, I'd love to hear from you.
Let's just start off, as we always do on Monday nights, talk a little bit about the injury front and how we came out of the North Texas game and what it looks like coming up this weekend.
Well, from an injury standpoint, Greg Garner's a little bit hobbled. Obviously, he didn't play in the game, a little bit hobbled. There's a good chance he could come back. Austin Kendall did not play in the game. We're hopeful that he's going to be back this week. A lot of that's going to be determined here over the next couple days with everything. IG came back. It was nice to see him back. I'm trying to just go through some of the injuries right now.
Levi Bell.
Yeah, Levi Bell is still out. He will not be back this week. Trey Harris had a small ankle, but he practiced last night, so I would think that he's going to be okay. He only played a limited amount of time in the game, but I think he should be okay with that. So, really, I think we came out of the game really clean. The other guy, J.D. Head, right now is down. J.D. Head is down right now. He will not be cleared to play this week. So we've got a couple. We've got a couple guys that are in a question mark standpoint. We've got a couple guys that are out. But really, for where we are right now, I think we have a total of nine players that are definitely out, and that's guys like Levi Bell, guys like Luke Anthony, Jawan Johnson, some guys, Christian Archangel, Kyrie Morrison, some guys that are kind of long-term out right now with everything. But really, for the most part, I think we came out of the game pretty clean with other than the bumps and bruises that go along with playing the game.
Obviously, Austin Kendall was a late scratch. Also, Aaron Allen, DJ Head kind of thrown into the mix.
Yep.
They had not taken the snaps with the one all week long, and that's why coaches always talk about you better be ready to prepare like you're going to be the starter.
Yeah, and it turned out that all of a sudden Aaron was.
Right.
And I thought he went in, and Aaron did a nice job. He threw the ball. He was 14 of 18. I know he had the two incompletes early where he overthrew the deep balls, and we got to get a little bit better at that. But I thought he did a nice job. The last time Aaron was on the field, he put the ball in danger a couple times. So I thought he went out there. I thought he protected the football. He put the team in the end zone a couple times and thought he did a nice job. I mean, there's some things that he's got to get better at mentally, just with the experience of playing. But I thought he did a nice job, and it was great to see JD get in there, and everybody can see, you know, JD's fire, and he comes in there, threw a perfect ball over there in the sideline on the deep ball, threw a great ball on it. And I think he's really going to, I've been said this before, I think he's really going to be special. But, you know, with Aaron's experience and Aaron being in the offense for 3 years, Aaron got the nod. We made the decision we were going to play both of them during the course of the game. Didn't necessarily have a plan that, all right, third series you go in or fourth. We just said we're going to play both of you. I think they both needed to play, and getting that game experience I think is invaluable for both of them right now.
You know, you jump out to the 24-0 lead. We look like world beaters early on, and I think you even talked to Luke McCown after the game was over on the postgame, and you said you might have gotten a little conservative in the second half, but it's hard not to do when you've got the lead there and you've got two quarterbacks out there that haven't got a lot of playing time. I thought, again, you relied on your defense in that second half.
We certainly did, and I thought, you know, they made a change at quarterback. I thought our defense played really well early, and they made a change at quarterback. And the quarterback went in and rushed for 62 yards. I mean, so they put a guy in because they were struggling in the passing game a little bit with it. And so they put the other quarterback in, started running their tailback, relying on their running game. When you look at the woes that we've had in the passing game, we put some things in from from a coverage standpoint to help our secondary a little bit more, make it a little bit more challenging for them to throw it and almost invite the run a little bit more with our pre-snap alignment with how we lined up. So we kind of spread the field a little bit more and challenge them to run it. And I thought some guys really stepped up in the front seven. I thought Deshaun Hall, Keavy Rose, you talk about Tristan Allen. I thought the linebackers played a really good game when you start talking about Trey Baldwin and Tyler Grubbs. Mackie Carabin did a nice job. I thought all four of the safeties that played really well. B.J. Williamson, Jaden Cole. We only gave up one play of 20 yards or more, and it was one play for 20 yards. And when you look at the first 3 weeks, that was our biggest Achilles heel. We were giving up big plays, and we made some adjustments to try and stop that, and I thought the players stepped in and really did a nice job for us on defense. And so when you looked at the way our defense was playing and some of the struggles we had a little bit in the second half on offense, it was like, let's just don't do anything foolish. Let's protect the offense a little bit, punt the ball away. Let's not give them a short field. And so in doing that, it was a formula to come out with a victory with a backup quarterback. So being 1-0 in the conference was all that mattered. I said I would have won that game 3-0. I win 51-52. It doesn't matter. I just want to find a way to win a game. So I'm not concerned about stats right now. When you have a football team that was struggling a little bit the way we've been on defense, yeah, I think it was important to get a little bit of their stinger back and come into a conference game and play really well, and I thought they did.
Those first two scoring drives led by Aaron Allen, they were capped off by Marcus Williams' touchdown runs. The first one was from 2 yards out, but it was a heck of a run. I mean, he was met at the line of scrimmage by about three North Texas guys. I thought he was stopped, and he just kept those legs turning.
Yeah, I mean, and it was a little bit crazy because we had a tackle go down right before that, and with our tight ends, our tight end is our third tackle. Well, our third tackle had just gone in on offense, so now we're trying to find the fourth tackle to put him in at tight end to go run the play, and then that was the drive that Trey Harris went down with his ankle. So then we're trying to get a receiver in. It was like, just get the thing called. Let's not take a penalty right now. And we ran it, and there wasn't a lot of room. But I tell you what a great run. He was just driving his legs, and as you said, he got met on about the 3-yard line and just kept pushing the pile until we spun, turned, twisted, and pushed until he got himself into the end zone. But Marcus Williams is turning out to be what a pleasure. I mean, what a joy he's been for this football team. He's a hard worker. He's got a great attitude. But, boy, he plays the game so physical and so tough. He's got great vision. And I thought he really played a good game. The second one was just as impressive on the 50-yard run. I don't know the exact number, but
42 yards.
I mean, we ran a little fold play inside, and he read it great, set up the linebacker, cut off of it, broke into the open field, and then Sam Emulis made a great block down the field, which gave him the opportunity to spring into the end zone from 42 yards out.
You talked a little bit about the touchdown pass by J.D. Head. I mean, his first career touchdown pass, and it was a big-time throw. I mean, that receiver was well covered, yep. And J.D. put it about the only place he could put it.
Well, he certainly did. It was a great throw, and the play was actually designed to go to the left. I mean, when you looked at it, we had a formation into the boundary, not to get too technical here, but we had formation into the boundary trying to give a little play fake to get the linebackers to suck in so we could get the ball over the top, and we put a couple people vertical on the left side. The guy on the right got man coverage, and JD saw Sam Emulis in man coverage and said, I know that guy's good, and he'll go get it. And, you know, so he just dropped back and threw it to the field and took the one-on-one matchup. Because I was looking to the left, and the ball went up, and I was like, uh-oh, okay, where are we going with it? The ball went out to the field, and what a great throw to the field from about 45 yards out. It was a great throw.
Well, you know, our radio booth sits right next to the coach's booth, and you should have a camera on Joe Sloan on plays like that because it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
You know, you talked about taking some deep shots in that first half. Yep. Aaron Allen overthrew a couple, and then, of course, J.D. hit his. Did North Texas do anything adjustment-wise in the second half? Because they really seemed like they lined up to stop the run in that second half and made it difficult.
We got a lot less. When we started, they were playing a lot more man coverage. And I think right now when you look at the way Trey Harris, Sam Emulis, Isaiah Graham, and Jared Means are playing right now, I'll take our shot. We'll take a lot of shots with those guys when we see a lot of man coverage, because when it's one-on-one, put the ball up and give those guys a chance to go get it. But in the second half, they came out and did something they hadn't even shown on film. They gave a two-robber look and started moving things around and playing. What they were trying to do was get after the big run by Marcus. They tried to take one of their safeties and put him in the middle of the field as an extra run support guy and a robber coverage, which is not something that they had done. And so to try and drop back and have those quarterbacks just throw the ball every down, we had, I know Aaron got sacked on one and fumbled. I was trying to make sure that we didn't put our defense in bad field position. So I was a little bit leery to just drop back and throw it every down in the second half when you looked at what they were trying to do to stop the run a little bit. We tried to throw some screens and some bubble throws and get the ball out on the perimeter, give our athletes a chance to make something happen. But they did change quite a bit at halftime with what they were doing with some of the success that we were having, because the man coverage, we were able to hit some balls on them, and then without the run support from the safety, it was giving us some big plays down the field in the run game as well.
So four straight game to open the season that it's been decided by a touchdown or less. We've played a lot of close games, as we all know.
Yes.
Out of the last 40 years, that's only the fourth time that we've had a stretch of four straight games where it's been decided by a touchdown or less. The good news for you, just
good.
So you know this,
good.
Is the last two times that happened was in 2001 and 2011, and both years we won the WAC championship. So
okay.
There you go.
I think that
bodes well for us this year.
Well, we talked last week about the schedule we've had and the challenge we've had with Mississippi State and with Southeastern's offense and with North Texas. North Texas, this is an offense that had 550 yards against SMU and had a bunch of big plays in that game. So I think going through the rough side of the mountain, the competition that we've played, I think is only going to make us better, because your flaws are going to get exposed when you play a really good football team, and it's going to make us get better and better. And even though we don't like our record at 2-2 right now, we wish we were all 4-0, I also believe that playing a higher level of competition is going to be better for us and make us better in the long run as we go through it. So I certainly hope these close games have give our football team a little bit of confidence and how to close a football game and how to win, but also is going to prepare us to be a better football team fundamentally and execution-wise as we get into the second half of the season.
No doubt about it. Louisiana Tech wins at 24-17. We'll be right back with more of Inside Bulldog Football. You're listening to Bulldog Football on the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield.
Bulldog fans, help the red and blue go green by recycling on Bulldog and Lady Texters game days. In partnership with the City of Ruston, Graphics Packaging International, and Pepsi, Louisiana Tech Athletics is working towards a more sustainable game day. Be on the lookout for the City of Ruston blue recycling bins to dispose all paper, plastic, and aluminum products. While you're watching the game, enjoy a refreshing Pepsi, and then dispose of your bottle in conveniently located receptacles throughout the stadium concourse. Ruston residents, for more information and to sign up for curbside recycling, visit RustonRecycles.org today.
Hi, I'm Miss Louisiana Julia Claire Williams on behalf of the Louisiana Propane Dealers. I'm sure you know that clean, affordable propane gas is used in houses across our state. It's used in cooking, water heaters, drying clothes, and heating homes. But did you know that if you ever run out of propane, you need a certified dealer to inspect your system for leaks before it's refilled? That's the law. Propane is safe energy for everyone, and we want to keep it that way.
The Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston is a proud hotel partner of Louisiana Tech Athletics and the recipient of the Louisiana Travel and Promotion Association Accommodations of the Year. We are just minutes from Louisiana Tech campus and stadiums and take great pride in providing our guests exceptional service while they're in town visiting our beautiful community. With our spacious guest rooms, free internet, complimentary breakfast, and friendly staff, our guests are sure to experience true Southern hospitality. Come visit the Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston. We will ever loyal be.
You are listening to Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Hulse, live from the Doghouse Sports Grill in Ruston, a family-friendly spot offering some of the finest food in the area. Doghouse is a tradition for Louisiana Tech football game days. Before or after the game, Doghouse has all your favorites. And when the Bulldogs are on the road, Doghouse Sports Grill is your away game party destination in Ruston. Anytime is a good time for an anytime burger or the locally revered buffalo chicken sandwich. Doghouse Sports Grill on Homer Street, Ruston, where the Bulldogs are always on.
Well, we're back at the Doghouse Sports Grill. This is Inside Bulldog Football. And, Skip, as we talk a little bit more about the defensive side of the field on Saturday night's win over North Texas, you came into the game, you mentioned you'd we'd face three offenses that like to throw the ball around, and yep. I think we were averaging like 52 or 53 pass attempts against us a game, which is unbelievable. North Texas threw it 37 times on Saturday night, only completed 15,
yep.
only threw for 92 yards. I think they averaged 2.5 yards per pass, which is a really, really low amount. I thought defensively in the secondary did a really good job.
They did a great job. I think David Blackwell did a really nice job looking at, really, I said we're going to learn a lot about our team through the first five games. Well, what we learned through three games is we better get better at stopping the pass, because we had given up an awful lot of yards in the first three games. And so we're trying to do some things to help them from a structure standpoint. We're committing more players to the pass defense and opening up, almost inviting them to run the ball a little bit more. And I thought those guys in the back end did a really nice job. I mean, I think when you talk about our defense, I think it starts with Trey Baldwin right in the middle, and that guy's been playing great football for us. And really at the linebacker level, Tyler Grubbs, Mackie Carabin, Ezekiel Barnett. We've even moved Broderick Calhoun as a safety and corner down to play that nickel position a little bit more to give us a little bit better cover guy down inside. But I think the linebackers are really playing active and very involved with what they're doing. I think they played an excellent game. And then we put a lot of pressure on our safeties when we did this new scheme that we kind of unfolded in this football game. It put a lot of pressure on the safeties. And B.J., Jaden Cole, Elijah Hamilton, the guys in the back end, I thought did a really, really nice job. Khalil Adler, Miles Mason, Baylen Buchanan, Cedric Woods, those guys I think are playing really well and did a really nice job for us. So I think if we can get better against the pass, I think we have a chance. And when we put more resources into stopping the pass, that put a little bit more pressure on that front, and that's why it was so important those linebackers stepped up. But Deshaun Hall played his best game of the year. I mean, he's just a sophomore, a young player, but you look at him, he's 245 pounds, 250 pounds, but he played big inside. I thought he played great. Tristan Allen, Kevie Rose, DJ Jackson, Rasheed Lyles were playing a lot of guys. I think we played 10 guys up front, and 8 of them graded in the Victors Club. So a lot of great individual performances in that game, but it was nice to see the defense gain a little bit of a stinger, and I think we needed to help our secondary. I think this is going to help us as we go through the course of the year. I think it's something that we're not going to major in every week, but we certainly have to have it available to us if we play another team as explosive as the first three we did throwing the ball.
You mentioned Deshaun Hall. He finished with 7 tackles, 4 solo tackles. I mean, 7 tackles for a defensive lineman in a football game is a lot.
Is a lot. That's huge. And, I mean, there's clip after clip where he would beat the tackle who was blocking him, and he disengaged there. Then they'd pull a guard, and the guard would hit him, and he'd disengage from that and then make the tackle. I mean, so when you're up front, there's not an easy play up front. I mean, you got 320-pound guys leaning on you, pushing you around, and you got to fight through that to try and find a ball carrier who's very talented with the ball. Because when you look at Torrey, we talked about Torrey's rushing for over 100 yards a game and one of the leading rushers in our conference. So, but I think we put a lot of pressure on those guys up front, and they came through. I mean, because we have been trying to load the box a little bit more and stop some of the runs and mix some things up. But we really just made a commitment this week. We're going to put some pressure on that front. And I know we gave up whatever it was, 200 yards rushing. But when you look at the end result, it was a 17 points is a big difference from where we've been around 35. So I thought the defense really played well, and applaud the defensive staff for making the changes they needed to make in order to get the stops in order to win our first conference game.
And DeAndre Torrey ended up with, I think, 119 yards rushing, but he carried it 26 times, which Correct. Is a lot. And again, they just kind of wear you. And a lot of those yards you mentioned, the quarterback, Anu, did a really good job of scrambling and making some big plays on third down.
Well, third down, and we tried to do some things. We even tried to spy a linebacker on him, but he is a very good athlete. He got out there a couple times and made our spy miss or outran him to where we couldn't. But we had a guy just on the quarterback, and he still rushed for 15 yards on a scramble play, which tells you what kind of athlete the quarterback is for sure. But they made that change, and they went away. Excuse me, they went away from their thrower and went more to their runner in the second half, and they had more success with it for sure. But he is a really good player. Does a nice job for him.
No doubt about it. It wouldn't be a Louisiana Tech game this year without a sack by a Bell brother. Bell got his third sack of the year. Levi obviously not dressed out for this one. He's got three. Those two brothers have combined for six of the eight sacks this year.
Yeah, and they both just play with such an incredible energy. I think that's why everybody likes them so much is they just play. Well, they play the game with passion. They play the game emotional, passionate. They don't stop. They've got incredible energy, incredible batteries that they operate on. I think that'd be a great NIL for ever ready or Everlast or whatever the battery company is. I don't know. I coach football. I don't sell for a living. So, I mean, but if I was a battery company, I would probably take those two for my NIL. Let them promote my battery, but they both do a really good job. And Ben Bell's a puppy. He's a true freshman right now out there doing on the field what he's doing. And you look at him doing what he's doing. Kershawn Fisher is just a freshman. Joe Mason is just a freshman. Keevy Rose is a sophomore. Deshaun Hall's a sophomore. I mean, you look at all these guys that are up there playing on that defensive line. They're all puppies. I mean, they haven't even started shaving yet. So for those guys to do what they're doing for us right now, I'm excited about what the defensive line looks like for the future for sure. Because when you start talking about graduation, I mean, all those guys are not only back 1 year. Most of them are back for 2, 3, and 4 years. Because Keevy's a redshirt freshman. I misspoke. DJ Jackson's a sophomore. You've got Deshaun Hall's a sophomore. Joe Mason's a freshman. Michael Clark, who's another guy that's playing really well for us, he's a freshman. And Ben Bell is a freshman. So when you look at it right now, we've got a lot of guys that are running around out there that are just really young players but very, very talented. Love our front. Coach Camp, Anthony Camp's doing a great job with them. And I think it will they have proven that they can handle the load a little bit more when you put some pressure on them to stop the run.
North Texas was 7 of 17 on third downs, which is about 40%. That's not too bad. But on fourth downs, your defense was able to get off the field only 1 of 6, including, obviously, the one in the last minute there that got the ball back and the game was over as you knelt on it.
Well, as I told the defense and the defensive staff, when you're winning a football game, you're going to have a lot of people go for it on fourth down. You know, you can't go, huh, they're going for it on fourth again. Well, they're desperate. They got to score. They know they got to score, and they haven't had a lot of success. So they went for it on fourth down a couple times. And, you know, with us being maybe not as explosive in the second half as an offensive football team, I think it was huge that the defense stepped up. And like you said, they were 5 out of 6 on stops in the second half on fourth down plays where they went for it. And I don't think they were real excited about punting the ball to Smoke after they had done it the first couple times. So,
yeah, and let's talk about that punt return. 69 yards, if I remember correctly, all the way down to the 2. The poor punter for North Texas, his teammates are probably giving him a hard time because made him look a little silly around the 30-yard line when he stutter-stepped and left him.
It's one thing when you make a guy miss. It's another thing when you make him fall down and he doesn't even touch you. That's not an easy thing to do in college football. But no, he gave him that little hesitation move that he's got, and the punter started to stop, and then he sped up, and he hit the ground. And what a shame. I mean, he had a Marquellus Turner made an unbelievable block. He goes running down the field, and the guy was right behind Smoke, kind of making ground on him. Marquellus stepped right in between him, threw his arms up like, I'm not blocking him. I'm not blocking him in the back. I'm just getting in the way, and did a great job. And it's unfortunate because there was another guy that was leading Smoke into the end zone that had he just turned his head to the left and been able to see the guy coming from across the field, Smoke would have got into the end zone. And I hate that he had that huge return because the first 10 yards of it was all Smoke. I mean, there's about three guys there completely unblocked, and he made them all look foolish and got into the open field and made it a foot race. I wish he would have gotten the end zone, but I think Smoke is really – he is a talent. He is a truly very gifted returner. And when you watch what that guy can do in open space, he's exciting to watch. But I think I talked to Dennis, Coach Smith, our special teams coordinator, has done a really good job. And we're trying to do whatever we can to get him moving a little bit more. Because if we can get him started, he can make a lot of things happen. They may not all be house calls, but he can make a first down or two on a punt return every time he touches the ball.
Smoke Harris was named the Louisiana Sports Writers Association Co-Special Teams Player
of the
Week today after that 67-yard punt return. So
deserved.
No doubt about it. It was the longest punt return by a Bulldog since 2011. That was when Craig Johnson had an 82-yard punt return. So 2011, again, that year pops up. We won the Western Athletic Conference Championship.
Exactly.
That year.
There's a lot of similarities going
back.
On.
Exactly.
I like it.
I like it.
Keep them coming. I like it. You're going to make me sleep a little bit better tonight. I like it.
I'm going to move back to the offensive side of the football because I know you've watched the film. On the play that J.D. Head went out of the ball game, I was surprised they didn't take another look at it because I thought there was a possible of a helmet-to-helmet on that play. I know you've seen it. What did you see?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, certainly I think it deserved a second look on that. We've sent our clips in for the conference to review. I haven't gotten all the answers back yet, but it was certainly – I thought it was close enough that it deserved a look on the field for sure. But, you know, the officials made the decision that it didn't, and they went on, and we've sent it in, and we'll get a report back. And really, you don't send your clips in to try and change a call. We can't go back and say, okay, erase that, let's go back, and that was a penalty, and let's go finish the game. But the reason you send clips in is so your officiating crew gets better. They have new officials on our officiating crew as well, and you want to give them every piece of information to say, let's just be consistent. If this is a penalty, this one needs to be a penalty. If this is a penalty, and you want to give our new head of officials, you want to give him an opportunity to at least make some cut-up reels and start coaching the officials so they can constantly get better as well. We can't change it for this game, but hopefully we can eliminate a call like that happening from another game as we continue to move forward. So, yeah, I thought, you know, overall, I don't know that I've ever walked off the field and said that was a well-officiated game. You know, I don't know that I've ever said that. I mean, if I walked off the field and they had 30 penalties and we had none, then I may say that was a very well-officiated game. But if we have one, then we need to look at it. We got to send clips in for sure. But, no, I thought overall the officials did – a pretty good job. I mean, I think there were a couple questionable calls. There was a couple gray calls, you know, and those are the ones that are decisions. I mean, the ones that are the no-brainer, those are easy to call, but it's those ones that are in the gray zone that when you call this gray zone but don't call that gray zone, late hit on the quarterback down on the goal line. Some of those type calls are they're objective, you know, and they're objective, and an official's got to pull the flag out of his pocket in a moment. And hopefully by sending a lot of those clips in, it'll help us get a little bit better at it for sure.
No doubt about it. Just a reminder, if you have a question for Skip Holtz, text it to us, 318-614-4513. We'll ask those in the last segment. When we come back, we'll be joined by Louisiana Tech track and field coach Gary Stanley. That's coming up. We'll be right back with more of Inside Bulldog Football. You're listening to the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield.
We're about living in the moment.
You know, that moment when you open a Pepsi and hear the music.
We're the doers, the shakers, the tastemakers.
The ones who dance to their own beat.
The ones who stay cool when things heat up.
Whether the party is big or small.
We're the ones who never want it to end.
The ones who can't stop.
And never will.
The beat starts at Pepsi.com. Pepsi. Live for now.
Life's just more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. It's more fun tailgating or camping with the family with an EasyGo multi-passenger cart. It's more fun hunting and doing farm chores with an EasyGo utility cart. And Fairway Carts always has a great selection of EasyGo gas or electric carts with the performance you need and the value to please any budget. Have more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 318-371-CART and go Bulldogs!
Hi, I'm Miss Louisiana Julia Claire Williams on behalf of the Louisiana Propane Dealers. We're all used to bad weather in Louisiana, and we know the benefits of clean, portable propane gas during those emergencies. But if your propane tank is ever damaged in a storm, you should have it inspected by a certified propane dealer. And if you ever smell gas, turn the system off at the tank and call your dealer immediately. Propane is safe energy for everyone, and we want to keep it that way.
Bulldog fans, help the red and blue go green by recycling on Bulldog and Lady Texters game days. In partnership with the City of Ruston, Graphics Packaging International, and Pepsi, Louisiana Tech Athletics is working towards a more sustainable game day. Be on the lookout for the City of Ruston blue recycling bins to dispose all paper, plastic, and aluminum products. While you're watching the game, enjoy a refreshing Pepsi, and then dispose of your bottle in conveniently located receptacles throughout the stadium concourse. Ruston residents, for more information and to sign up for curbside recycling, visit RustonRecycles.org today.
The Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston is a proud hotel partner of Louisiana Tech Athletics and the recipient of the Louisiana Travel and Promotion Association Accommodations of the Year. We are just minutes from Louisiana Tech campus and stadiums and take great pride in providing our guests exceptional service while they're in town visiting our beautiful community. With our spacious guest rooms, free internet, complimentary breakfast, and friendly staff, our guests are sure to experience true Southern hospitality. Come visit the Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston. We will ever loyal be.
Well, we're back at the Doghouse Sports Grill. This is Inside Bulldog Football, and we're going to step away from football for just a minute, talk about Louisiana Tech Track and Field, joined by Louisiana Tech Track and Field Coach Gary Stanley. And, Gary, if I'm not mistaken, you have got seniority in the Louisiana Tech Athletics Department. This is your 40th year, if I'm not mistaken, at Louisiana Tech.
It is indeed my 40th. 34 You know, in the beginning of my 34th year as a head coach, and as one of Ruston's own, Jimmy Love, texted me today and said, "You must have been 15 when you started." I was like, obviously not. But, yeah, it's been great. I've enjoyed it, and I've been very fortunate.
We'll talk a little bit about your path to Louisiana Tech. I know, obviously, Jim Mize holds a very special place in your heart.
Jimmy Mize does, and everybody knew about him. But actually, who brought me here was Jerry Dyes, who came up from Northwestern and had a fabulously successful career down there. And Dr. Taylor brought him up here, and he brought me in. And he's the greatest track coach I've ever been around in my life, and I've been doing this a little bit. But that's how I ended up here. I came up as an assistant straight out of New Orleans, not knowing where I was going. There was only two campuses in the state that I didn't race on as a distance runner, as an athlete, and this was one of them. So I didn't know what I was getting into, but it's been great.
You were a heck of a cross-country runner back in the day, correct?
I don't know about that, but I laced them up and got after it a little bit. So,
do you have trouble convincing your cross-country kids today that you were a cross-country runner back when you were their age?
Yeah, because we didn't even have internet back then, so they can't even look half of it.
There's no YouTube video of you running.
And they certainly look at me and don't think I look like, they think I'm the throws coach. I'm like, no, I'm actually looking for a throws coach right now. But they've seen some stuff, and, we occasionally will – we have some kids from South Louisiana, so some people will mention it to them, and they're like, really?
So. Well, the cross-country season has started, opened up a week ago Saturday when you hosted the Louisiana Tech MOOC 4 Invitational out at Tech Farm. And if folks who have never been to that, it's an unbelievable track to run a cross-country race on. I know last year when we ran it, I think because of COVID, there were like us and one other team. This year you had 7 or 8 teams out there and a lot of competitors.
Right, we did. We had 7 or 8. The men had a successful day and we won. The women were fourth. It is a great course, and I want to give kudos, as usual, to Dr. Gary Kennedy, Dean Kennedy, who worked with me years ago to set this up, Benny Hennon, who basically runs the operation out there, and all the things that we ask them to do. And every time we host a meet, the other college coaches that come for the first time are amazed. They look, and they're like, wow, this is something. I was like, yeah, we have cows and pigs and horses out here, and but they clear out a 2 half-mile loops and a mile loop, and it's a great setup. Very safe training venue for my athletes, and it's really wonderful.
I really enjoy being around your cross-country kids. They are very appreciative of people coming out and supporting them. Obviously, on the men's side, Connor Killian, which has been a name around Louisiana Tech for, is this Connor's sixth year, dare I say? Is that correct?
It seems like he's been here as long as I have,
yeah.
But not quite. This is his sixth, and he's a senior. On the men's team, we're senior-laden. We have 5 kids that are seniors, Connor being in his sixth, and his younger sister, who's a senior also. And I never thought they would graduate together, but she's a senior and an engineering major and going to graduate in May.
Talk a little bit about your recruiting philosophy when it comes to how you handle your scholarships, because your scholarships for cross and country also come out of track and field overall. A lot of people don't realize that.
No, they don't, and they look at it, and basically what you're trying to do is have the best track team you can have. And even though I was a distance guy, a cross country guy, I'm the track coach, and it'd be very easy to load up on distance runners. But you know, on the men's side, you have 12 and a half to divide up amongst about 45 people. And on the women, it's 18 amongst the same number. So we try to load up on sprinters, jumpers, throwers, hurdlers. And we don't put a lot into the distance part of it to try to be more successful on the track. But these guys are great. These young ladies and these young men, they work. We were up on the track at 5:55 this morning. I think 6 is the allowable time, but we cheated and went up 5 minutes early. And they work hard. Bunch of engineering majors, you know, regularly have the high GPA team award at Tech and everything else. And I'm super proud of those kids.
No doubt about it. So just to reference that, every year we have the TechSpies, which is the annual award show at the end of the year. That's in the spring. And this past year, women's cross country won the GPA award with the highest GPA of any of our teams at Louisiana Tech. So, yeah, kudos to those young ladies. And then the SAC award, which goes to the team that has the most community service hours, and that went to cross country as well. So right. They really epitomize the student and student athlete.
They really do, and it's a long season. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, cross country you start racing in September, then you go into indoor in January, February, early March, then you go into outdoors March, April, May, and if you go to the show, the NCAA, you're into June. So these kids are racing. I mean, they're competing, traveling from early September to June. It's a long, long year.
No doubt about it. Well, you're scheduled. Your next meet is not this coming weekend. It's the following weekend. Where are you guys going?
We're going to go over to Clinton, to Mississippi College. They have a dedicated cross-country course. It's one of the best in the South and brings in some really good people. It's a nice setup. It's out at – I don't know what that facility was back in the day, but it's really nice. We're looking forward to it.
Where does Conference USA hold its championships for cross country?
Well, they vary. We're going to Charlotte this year, and I'm trying to think. It seems like last year, it seems so long ago, but I think we were in, wasn't Middle Tennessee. I'm trying to remember where it was last year. A lot of
last water. Year's a blur for everybody in a lot of ways. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely.
Well, we appreciate you joining us here today, and, of course, we appreciate your student-athletes and all they do to represent Louisiana Tech in such a first-class manner.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate the doghouse. It's kind of a funny story. There used to be a picture of our Olympian, Chelsea Hayes, right here, and I would bring recruits in, and I would sit facing that way, and they'd have to look at me, and they're like, what is that? Oh, I didn't even know it was there. You know,
recruiting tool, right?
Always selling.
Well, good luck next weekend. Good luck with the rest of the cross-country season. And, again, thanks for coming on. That's Louisiana Tech head track
appreciate
and field
y'all.
Coach Gary Stanley. We'll be right back with more of Inside Bulldog Football. You're listening to the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield.
The Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston is a proud hotel partner of Louisiana Tech Athletics and the recipient of the Louisiana Travel and Promotion Association Accommodations of the Year. We are just minutes from Louisiana Tech campus and stadiums and take great pride in providing our guests exceptional service while they're in town visiting our beautiful community. With our spacious guest rooms, free internet, complimentary breakfast, and friendly staff, our guests are sure to experience true Southern hospitality. Come visit the Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston. We will ever loyal be.
You are listening to Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Hulse, live from the Doghouse Sports Grill in Ruston, a family-friendly spot offering some of the finest food in the area. Doghouse is a tradition for Louisiana Tech football game days. Before or after the game, Doghouse has all your favorites. And when the Bulldogs are on the road, Doghouse Sports Grill is your away game party destination in Ruston. Anytime is a good time for an anytime burger or the locally revered buffalo chicken sandwich. Doghouse Sports Grill on Homer Street, Ruston, where the Bulldogs are always on.
Injured athletes need quality care to get back into the game. And teams in our region understand they can score big points when they choose Willis-Knighton Sports Medicine for their athletes. Only Willis-Knighton offers four nationally recognized hospitals, professional orthopedic and sports medicine centers, sophisticated rehabilitation, and the largest group of orthopedic specialists in the region. Whether you're a high school, college, or pro athlete, WK Sports Medicine has you covered.
It's a new season. Get ready for more men's and women's college sports excellence. Trophies will be awarded in June to schools who take the top spot in the 2021-22 Learfield Director's Cup. The premier award recognizes one winning institution in all competitive divisions. Follow your favorite team's progress as seasonal standings are announced at L Director's Cup on Twitter and online at directorscup.org. The crowning achievement in college athletics.
Oh, back at Doghouse Sports Grill. This is Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Holtz. And, Skip, I got a couple of questions here that some fans have texted in. The first one is, what does the team need to do better in order to hold or increase leads? My blood pressure can't handle much more of this.
My wife said the same thing to me. She's like, oh, I don't like these close games. What do we have to do to be in a lopsided game? Believe me, I would love to be in a lopsided game. That would make my blood pressure go way down with everything. And, you know, every game is different. But, I mean, you look at the way that Mississippi State threw the ball, and then we got a lead, and then they came back and made it interesting. And in this one, it was the same thing as the 24-17 football game, and we struggled trying to put it away there at the end in the fourth quarter, and in the second half, we struggled trying to put it away. And I thought they did a really nice job. But I'm with you. I would love to score a lot more points than our opponent. I would like to break that four-game streak within 7 points. I would certainly like to break that.
I'm all right with blowouts as long as we're on the right side of them, right? No doubt about that. That question was from Quint, by the way.
Quint.
Yep. Curious Dog in Monroe, is it better for a program to win a conference game or beat a Power 5 team?
I think there are a lot of people who tell you that it's better to beat a Power 5 team and the exposure that that gives you. But to me, I think it's about a conference championship. I think that's the thing that one's going to hang on the wall for a long time. And, you know, since we've been here, we beat Miami in the bowl game. We've beat Illinois. We've had some close games against Power 5s. We've won some games against Power 5. But I think, to me, I would take the conference championship over a single game. I think one is a body of work in the conference that we play in, where the other one is just a one-game shot. So we've played some pretty good teams outside of conference. But I think that, I mean, to me, I think the conference championship is the thing that I want.
Rafe asks, Austin Kendall has been a huge addition to our team with just 3 games under his belt. With your experience of evaluating quarterbacks, how close is he to playing at his full potential?
I think he's still got a ways to go, and I say that because he's only been in this offense for really 2 months. I mean, you look at it, he got here in July and August he had it. Well, now 3. I mean, so now he's had it for 3 months, and I think what he's been able to do in the short period of time that he's had it, I mean, you're talking about quarterbacks that have been in the same system 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. You're talking about 3 months for him, and I think he has worked extremely hard at picking it all up and what he's doing, but I think Austin Kendall can really be special, and I'm really excited to watch his growth and development as we go through the rest of this season, because I think after this open date, by the time we get through the middle of the season, I think he could be playing at a really high level. Who was that from?
That was from Rafe.
Okay.
That was from Rafe.
All right.
All right, let's look forward to this coming weekend. North Carolina State. Obviously, folks know they're coming off the upset over Clemson this past weekend in double overtime. They moved up to number 23 in the country. A couple of notes. First of all, I'm sure you remember this, but you realize North Carolina State was your first opponent as the head coach at Louisiana Tech. That was your first game.
I do.
Yep. In fact, you and their head coach right now, Dave Doran.
Dorn.
Dave Dorn. That was both of y'all's first games, yours at Louisiana Tech, his at North Carolina State. You're both still there. In fact, you two are now tied 14th nationally for the longest tenures at your current schools.
Wow, see, I've got that. And I think that and $5 will get me a cup of coffee tomorrow morning at Starbucks.
Exactly.
You know?
I got another nugget for you here.
All right, I like nuggets.
Yeah,
give it to me.
During your time at East Carolina, obviously, evidently, you played North Carolina State as well. You're 1-2 all-time against the Wolfpack, and – You know this one, obviously. Lou was a head coach at North Carolina State from 1972 through 75, and he still holds the top winning percentage in school history at North Carolina State.
Yes, I mean, there's memories there, and I was 8 to 12 years old when grew up there in Raleigh with the Wolfpack and the Husky Dog and all that, and great memories for me. And it was kind of weird to go back there, you know, because all of a sudden you're on the visiting sideline and you're sitting over on the other side after you had spent so much time as a little boy growing up in that program. And they had Dave and Don Buckey, the Buckey twins. One was a quarterback, one was a receiver. Willie Fritz. They had some great players there during that time. So great memories for me. And I'm excited to have the opportunity to go back for sure. It's changed a little bit since 1972, I promise you.
What hasn't changed is they got great players this year, too, evidently,
with
the win. They're 3-1 on the year.
They are.
Their one loss came in Starkville, Mississippi, to Mississippi State. They went there the week after Louisiana Tech played. Mississippi State beat them 24-10.
Yep.
But, again, they've kind of righted the ship with the impressive win. When you look at this North Carolina State team, let's start on the offensive side of the football. What stands out to you?
Well, they do a really, really nice job. Their offensive line is really big. I mean, you look at them, they probably average about 325 if you go down the heights or the weights of their linemen. I mean, they're like 330, 340, 309, 310, they're a big group of guys up front. They've got two really good running backs. This is their year. They were picked second in their division in their conference, and have a really they've got two running backs right now. I believe one of them is going down as like the all-time. He's got the highest average of any running back in NC State history. They've got two receivers. One is working in the catch record, and the other one is in the average catch per play. They've got some really good receivers. They've got one receiver. I mean, one receiver is like 6'3", 215 pounds. The other ones are 6'1", 200 pounds. They've got great size, but they're very balanced. They run the ball. They're big and physical, but they've got some playmakers on the perimeter, and they've got a quarterback back that is a really good football player. So two running backs, solid quarterback, three really good receivers, and a huge offensive line is a pretty good formula. They don't turn the ball over much. They are averaging, I think, about 32 points a game with what they do, and that's even, you know, this last week when they only scored 27.
Yeah, if you look at they started the season with a 45-0 win over USF. I mentioned the loss at Mississippi State, came back, beat Furman 45-7, and then the 27-21 double overtime win against Clemson this past week. You mentioned the two running backs. Zonovan Knight is averaging 6.5 yards a carry. That's pretty good.
Yep.
Ricky Person averaging about 5 yards a carry between the two of them. They've run for over 600 yards in four games. Their quarterback, Devin Leary, has thrown for over 1,000 yards already, 10 touchdowns, only 2 interceptions. And, of course, you mentioned the receivers. They've got a number of guys who are double figures in catches already. So
yep.
A very, very good offensive football team. Move to the defensive side of the football. What do we expect from the Wolfpack?
Well, the unfortunate part is I think this is their strength. I mean, as good as their offense is, I think their strength is on defense. When you look at them, they are in opponents' first downs, they're fourth. They're sixth in the country in scoring defense, seventh in total defense. They're second in third down conversions. They are 15th in rush defense, 11th in red zone defense. I mean, there's like every defensive category that you look at, they're a top 20 ranked football team. They're really salty, and those statistics come along when they've played Mississippi State and Clemson. I mean, so you look at it, they've played some really good football teams, but they have got a really good football team defensively. I think that is their strength. They're not fancy. They run a three-down front. They drop eight an awful lot. But they are very physical, very active at their linebackers. I think they're secondary. They will play a lot of man coverage, and they will challenge everything. They will, from the time we get off the bus, they will be in our face, bumping, running us, chucking us. They are very, very aggressive as a defensive football team, and they're very good. Again, when you look at them, you look at you go down their depth chart, it's like they've got, well, one, two, three, four, six grad transfers on the defensive side of the ball, and they have probably more than that on the offensive side of the ball. Experienced team, seasoned team. This is the one that everybody talked about, and I don't think it's not surprising that they're the national team of the week. The regulation score was 14, I believe it was 14 all.
That's right.
at the Clemson game. They don't give up a lot of points. They're very stingy as a defensive football team. Even Mississippi State, that's scoring a lot of points right now, 7 of their points came off a kickoff return that they returned back for a touchdown. So I think the defense is their strength. And then you say, well, maybe their special teams aren't very good. And I think their punter right now is averaging over 44 yards a punt and is one of their leaders right now in all time from a punt average standpoint. And I think their kicker is also one of their all-time leaders. Both of them, I think their kicker is a preseason all-conference player. He's missed a couple kicks this year, but I think he's a really solid player and a really good they've got a really good football team. Very solid. Dave Doran's a great guy. Great coach, and he's done a really nice job there, and this is their year. I mean, there's a reason they're the national team of the week this week for sure.
Yeah, you mentioned their punter. He's averaging 45 yards a punt. He's already got 7 of them over 50 yards and another 6 that have been pinned inside the 20-yard line. So good special teams. This is your last non-conference game, and then everything else after that is Conference USA. What do you want to see out of your team this weekend?
Well, I'm ready to be done with non-conference for sure. I mean, especially when you talk about who we've had the opportunity to play. And SMU, who's still undefeated, I think, at this point. I think Mississippi State has one loss at this point, losing to LSU.
LSU by 2.
Losing to LSU by 2. And NC State has got one loss right now. I mean, so when you look at the people that we've played from a non-conference standpoint, I'm ready to get into conference for sure. I mean, I'm excited about this game, the opportunity we have going over to Raleigh. It's going to be a great challenge for us. I think it'll be great for our team to get in this environment. I mean, obviously there's going to be a lot of electricity in the air with the win they just had, with the type of season and the expectations they have. Ought to be a great crowd and a great venue, and I'm really looking forward to having the opportunity to go play. But I will tell you, when we come back home, I will be ready for the open date, and I'm really ready to roll up our sleeves and get into conference play. I think that'll be each and every week is going to be a challenge. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. But we've talked about these four non-conference games and the challenges they present to us. And this will be a pretty big hurdle to climb. But you know what? David took down Goliath with a stone. You know, I mean, I hope we can go have a little bit of success over in Raleigh.
It's a 5:00 Central kickoff. It'll be on the ACC Network, ESPN Plus. And so, again, this Saturday, 5:00 Central Time, you can hear the game on the Louisiana Tech Sports Radio Network. We'll go on the air at 3:30. We're going to go ahead and take our last commercial break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up from the Doghouse Sports Grill. You're listening to the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield.
We're about living in the moment.
You know, that moment when you open a Pepsi and hear the music.
We're the doers, the shakers, the tastemakers.
The ones who dance to their own beat.
The ones who stay cool when things heat up.
Whether the party is big or small.
We're the ones who never want it to end.
The ones who can't stop.
And never will.
The beat starts at Pepsi.com. Pepsi. Live for now.
Life's just more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. It's more fun tailgating or camping with the family with an EasyGo multi-passenger cart. It's more fun hunting and doing farm chores with an EasyGo utility cart. And Fairway Carts always has a great selection of EasyGo gas or electric carts with the performance you need and the value to please any budget. Have more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 318-371-CART and go Bulldogs!
It's a new season. Get ready for more men's and women's college sports excellence. Trophies will be awarded in June to schools who take the top spot in the 2021-22 Learfield Director's Cup. The premier award recognizes one winning institution in all competitive divisions. Follow your favorite team's progress as seasonal standings are announced at L Director's Cup on Twitter and online at directorscup.org. The crowning achievement in college athletics.
Injured athletes need quality care to get back into the game. And teams in our region understand they can score big points when they choose Willis-Knighton Sports Medicine for their athletes. Only Willis-Knighton offers four nationally recognized hospitals, professional orthopedic and sports medicine centers, sophisticated rehabilitation, and the largest group of orthopedic specialists in the region. Whether you're a high school, college, or pro athlete, WK Sports Medicine has you covered.
Hi, I'm Miss Louisiana Julia Claire Williams on behalf of the Louisiana Propane Dealers. I'm sure you know that clean, affordable propane gas is used in houses across our state. It's used in cooking, water heaters, drying clothes, and heating homes. But did you know that if you ever run out of propane, you need a certified dealer to inspect your system for leaks before it's refilled? That's the law. Propane is safe energy for everyone, and we want to keep it that way.
Well, back at the Doghouse Sports Grill, I'd like to take a moment to thank Bert Davis and staff here at the Doghouse. They've been supporters of Louisiana Tech for a long time and have the best burgers in the area. So thanks to Bert and all his staff for their help tonight. Skip, your water and my Coke were courtesy of Charlie. Charlie just started here, so thanks to Charlie tonight for her help with that. I know you've got some things that you want to thank before I send it over to you, because you seem to have a tendency to sign us off before I'm done, so I'm going to go first and let you go second. I want to thank John Tabor, our engineer back at the studio. I want to thank Elton Taylor, our engineer here. Thank Ashley Springer, our football SID, and, of course, Gary Stanley for coming on the show tonight. Skip, it's all you.
Well, certainly I want to echo your sentiments towards Gary Stanley and the great job that he's done here and the loyal service that he's given to Louisiana Tech. He's done an unbelievable job and had great success here and has built, I talked about when I came here, I want to build a program. Gary Stanley has built a program and is well thought of and well respected around not only the state but around the country. Malcolm, appreciate the job you do each and every week for sure, and definitely, no doubt, he's the best. He's the best at what he does. I appreciate it. And I want to say thank you to Quint, Curious Dog, and Ray for your questions tonight. I wish we had more questions. I like answering the questions about the program. So many people to thank, so many people to say hello to. To the students and the fans that were in the stadium on Saturday night, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. I mean, I cannot. Student body is awesome. They are energetic. They're electric. I love it when they're there. We just got to keep pulling more of them into that stadium, but they were great. I got to wish Russ Golden a good luck. Get well soon with the surgery that he just had. Father Shea, who is here again tonight, always want to have a priest on my sides for sure. I need it. That is definitely for sure. And just everybody for being here, for creating the electricity, not only at the stadium, but here at the Doghouse, and your loyal support of the Bulldogs. I appreciate it, everybody. We'll see you next week. See ya.
So long, everybody.
Live from the Doghouse Sports Grill, this has been Inside Bulldog Football with Skip Holtz, brought to you by Doghouse Sports Grill, official watch party host of La Tech Athletics, Origin Bank, the official bank of Louisiana Tech Athletics, and by Northern Louisiana Medical Center, the official imaging partner of La Tech Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the La Tech Sports Network.